92.3 Free FM. I'm Leslie Gold, the radio chick with Chuck and Butch and JC. 866-313-3733. There are real-life Ghostbusters. And they were here in New York City. A paranormal investigation of New York City. And they go in and they figure out if your house is haunted or your business is haunted or there's some paranormal force in a building that you're worried about. Really? They got a website. They got a 24-hour hotline. They got thousands of dollars worth of gear there. And we got one of the representatives on the phone with us, Dan Sturgis from Paranormal Investigations of New York. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
All right. Thanks for coming on with us.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be speaking with you.
All right. So now tell me the kind of calls that you get.
Well, we get all kinds of calls, but mostly the calls that we get excited about is calls where people don't understand really what's going on in their house or their business. They can't figure out what's happening. There are some kind of disturbances as far as apparitions, smells, weird noises.
Hmm.
We get lots of those. We get lots of calls with some kind of crazy people who I think sometimes just look for attention. But we try and be as nice as we can to those people and try to be as professional as we can. And then but we get excited about the people who really have legitimate stuff going on in their place of business or their home.
All right. What kind of equipment do you use to figure out if if there's a ghost present in somebody's house?
Well, the kind of equipment, there's no equipment, you know, designed specifically for ghost hunting, so we kind of have to adapt with what you have out there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff we use lots of video cameras. We have a digital video recorder, a DVR, that records four cameras at once, and we can set up some zero lux cameras that can see in the dark, and record a pretty large area. We use audio recorders, digital and analog, to record what is called EVPs, which stands for electronic voice phenomena, which is, you know, some people say that their spirit speaks, and we use that. And we also use kind of atmospheric equipment, EMF meters, which stands for electromagnetic field detectors, trying to look for any kind of disturbance in the electromagnetic field of the place, and barometric pressures, temperature gauges, a wide range of things.
How often do you get sound on those sound recorders?
Say that again.
How often do you get sound?
You know, not as often as we'd like. We do go into places and you get lots of strange noises and creaks and bumps and things that you just kind of have to throw out. We're really looking for things that we can't explain or we can't recreate. Voices would be great. Footsteps, music in places. We've been lucky. It doesn't happen often. A couple weeks ago, we were in an abandoned penitentiary in Philadelphia, and we picked up a voice.
The Eastern State Penitentiary?
Say that again?
Eastern State Penitentiary.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
What'd the voice say?
We think it says, "My house," twice. One right after the other, and then it sounds like it's either alone or my home. We can't really tell, but the my house is pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you sure that just wasn't the sound of a bum from Fairmount Avenue living inside of the penitentiary?
Well, you know what? We tried to debunk it as best as we could. We were there with a film crew from Spike TV, so we were able to account for everybody on film where everybody was at the time that thing happened.
Wow.
We also had a camera in the cell block to make sure nobody walked up and down that hallway where we had it. So we pretty much debunked anybody playing a trick on us.
It was probably the ghost of the Philadelphia Eagles season.
When you get something like that sounds like it could be a human voice speaking words, even in a ghostly manner, does it repeat itself over and over again, or you just hear it once?
Well, you know, we just heard this one once. We recorded for about an hour in this particular cell, and there was all kinds of noises for about 2.5 minutes. It repeated itself just at one time. It said, my house, it sounds like. But, you know, there are no rules, so it's hard to say that, yeah, that would happen over and over. You know, who knows? I don't even know if there is such a thing as a ghost, so I can't say for sure.
Okay, now, you guys at Paranormal Investigations, you don't charge for your services.
No, you can't charge. It would be, I always tell people when they ask, how come we don't charge? I say, you know what, it would be like charging to go look for a unicorn, man, you know? You can't charge for something you can't prove.
Right.
But so who pays for your expenses?
We pay out of our own pockets.
Why do you do that?
It's the only way we're going to be able to get the stuff. And And you know, this is a passion for the people in the group. It sounds kind of corny, but mm-hmm. But it really is. We love what we do, and in a weird way, you're kind of helping people in a kind of twisted sort of way. So if we have to pay a couple of bucks to make somebody feel more comfortable in their house, it's a small price to pay, I guess.
Well, how often? What percentage of the time is it some paranormal, I don't know, entity? Well, and how often is it the loose storm door banging on the back of the house?
Well, unfortunately, more often than not, it's the loose storm door. We can pretty much figure things out about maybe 85% of the time. And in the 20-15% of the time where we can't figure something out doesn't necessarily mean it's paranormal activity. It means that it's something that we can't figure out. We've had places that I'm the big skeptic in the group, we've got places that I've been to and the group where you just walked in and you could just tell something wasn't right about this place.
Mm.
Was it someone's home?
It was somebody's home, yeah.
And what'd you find there?
We got the fellow that started the group. His name is Dom Vallela. We were there. There was four of us there. We were in this person's master bedroom, and we were just standing there talking, taking some readings, taking some pictures, and a coin dropped out of the ceiling. It seemed like, and it landed right in front of us. And we said, "Well, that was pretty freaky." We took some pictures, checked some readings. Nothing really was going on, and we were walking back out of the room, and we heard something else land on the floor. Now, right in the same exact spot was a push pin, a thumbtack, like a little frog, and it landed right in the same spot. Does that mean there's a ghost? No. So we set up the cameras. We figured that was a pretty good room to set up a camera in,
mm-hmm.
and we caught something on video. It really just looks like the stereotypical misty ghost walking into this room. Now, Dom, the fellow that I told you he founded the group, he actually saw it happen as it was happening, as he was setting his camera up. So we kind of, it's great on the video. You can see what was happening, and you hear Dom react to it.
Wow.
Which is great to kind of have two things corroborate the event that was happening.
And what's his reaction? They never moved the bodies! They never moved the bodies!
Oh, Dom's a pro, man. Dom's a pro. He took it in stride and kind of... remarked what he saw and then just continued on. So Dom's a pro.
Cool.
Now, in the admittedly smaller percentage of time where you find that there may be something you can't explain, there may be paranormal activity, there may be a ghost there, mm-hmm. is it more often that the ghosts are mellow and hanging out, or are they pissed off?
Well, you know, I think if somebody was a jerk in the real life and there is such a thing as a ghost and they came back, they're going to be a jerk.
Once an a-hole, always an a-hole.
Exactly, myself included. I think if there is such a thing as a ghost and they're hanging around, there might be some the old cliche unfinished business. They might just kind of be tied to that place, or they might be just hanging around the person that lives there. Maybe they're real comfortable with that person.
Now, do you ever find that when you go to these places that it's the person who called you trying to kind of hoax you?
Yeah, we actually went on an investigation out in Queens. The group, we went out and we set everything up, and these girls reported paranormal activity and they were freaking out. One of the roommates just didn't even want to come to the house. And we set up all our equipment. We did an investigation, and part of the investigation, the group will set up cameras and audio recorders, and we'll split. We'll leave the place unattended and just let the recorders roll. We'll go to a diner, get a burger or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We came back and we walked into the house, and everything was turned upside down, and the pictures were taken off the wall, and it was kind of freaky. And the homeowners, they freaked out. And I tell you, the hair on the back of my neck stood up when I walked in. But I told her, I said, you know what? Somebody came in and played a prank. Dom went right up the stairs, and we checked the video equipment, the audio equipment, and the roommate that wasn't there, that was really afraid. Her and her boyfriend came back and did all that.
Oh, set it all up.
Set it all up.
Yeah. Which is a drag, because it's a huge waste of time for us. And the people in the group, we got great members, and everybody's got lives, and you don't want to waste 6 hours of your time.
Yeah, and plus you're not charging, man.
Yeah. It's a drag.
So. Yeah, wow. Did you ever find anything so disturbing that you had to advise the people that they needed to move out?
No, haven't, no. And I can speak for myself. I don't know anybody that has, and as far as a group, I haven't heard anybody in the group say that they've ever encountered anything like that.
So what do you make, I mean, you seem, you know, even though you do a weird job, you seem fairly level-headed about the whole thing, Dan. What do you think about stories like the Amityville Horror?
Well, the story of the Amityville Horror, I think it's a hoax. I think it was a great story. It was a great book. It was a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Long Island. I went out to that house when I was in high school and walked around and checked it out. And I think it was a hoax. As far as I know, there have been a couple other groups have gone in there and kind of debunked, you know, rooms that were supposedly there and weren't. And I think they're great stories. You know, they're great stories, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's true.
Now, on the same article that I found out about you guys, Paranormal Investigations, mm-hmm. they listed New York's most haunted locations.
Right.
Okay, so I don't know if you know anything about these. Like City Hall is supposed to be haunted.
I've heard somebody was telling me that that some of the security guards are reporting that they're seeing ghosts in the basement.
Hmm.
So I've actually shot them a letter. We shot them a letter, and hopefully they'll respond and let us get in there.
Okay. The Dakota, which is where John Lennon was shot, workers reportedly see ghosts of children in 19th century clothes.
Right. You get lots of that kind of stuff. There's a theory out there called it's called a residual haunting, which is, and it's just a theory, you know, obviously it can't be proved, but that energy is absorbed into an area. You know, energy can't be created or destroyed. It just kind of transfers.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory is that this energy can be absorbed into either the home or the ground or the environment or wherever. And when the conditions are right, that energy can be released, and you would see, you know, this quote-unquote spirit. It's not necessarily an apparition that's interacting with you. It's just almost like a film loop that just keeps replaying and replaying and replaying.
Oh.
It's a theory that us in the group, we kind of agree with, but you know, like I said, it's just a theory. It's not anything that can be proved yet.
Mm. Is there anything people can do at home to see if they suspect there might be some sort of otherworldly presence in their house?
Sure. There's plenty of things to do. Like we were talking about that EVP that we captured down in Philadelphia. You know, somebody, if they've got a, you know, an idea that their house might be haunted or they might have a spirit in their house, they can set up a recorder. Ask them specific questions, and then when you play the tape back, or you play, if it's on digital, whenever you play the recording back, see if there's some answers to your questions.
Hmm.
It's kind of dorky, and you feel, you know, like a dork doing it because you're asking questions to an empty room, but sometimes you get an answer. The fellow Dom, my buddy who started the group, he got a great EVP at like 3 a.m. In a music studio, you know, a soundproof music studio. He was asking questions, and after one of the questions he asked, "Would you like us to help you? There's a baby crying." And you know, you're in a soundproof studio. It's nothing bleeding from outside. It's pretty creepy. So somebody could try that.
Probably the ghost of any recording artist ever. Because they're all a bunch of babies.
Probably a lead singer, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right. Well, you know, I had I was not a believer until a few years ago when not a believer, like, you know, a big this is a bunch of BS
sure.
kind of believer. Then I lived in an old place in Boston.
Uh-huh.
I've told this story in the air before where I put my earrings on the nightstand
right before
I'd go to sleep, and I wake up in the morning and one would be missing.
Wow.
And no dog or no reason for it.
Right.
And I'd look all over, couldn't find it, was on the floor, couldn't find it. And then someone, I was hosting a radio show in Boston and telling the story, and someone said, "Oh, you have a poltergeist.
A poltergeist.
Right. And the poltergeist is screwing with you. So stand in the middle of the room and ask for your earring back and turn over a glass."
Uh-huh.
So like you say, you feel stupid. Felt so douchey. But I did it, okay? Because I couldn't get my earrings anymore.
Right.
I was losing earrings right and left.
Sure.
So I stood in the middle of the kitchen and I said, you know, "I don't know why you're taking my earrings, you know, I mean you no harm, but could you give me my freaking earrings back?" And turned over the glass. Not that next day, but 2 days later,
yeah,
the earring turned up on the mantle of my fireplace where I would never, ever, ever leave it.
Wow.
They're back.
Cool.
Yeah, so does that sound like in line with what a poltergeist might do?
Yeah, the whole poltergeist theory, poltergeist means noisy ghost in German, and the poltergeist theory, it's shortened. Poltergeist is, you know, what I agree with is that it's a human agent poltergeist activity. The theory is that the person who's living there, who's experiencing it, is probably causing it psychokinetically, which sounds really, really bizarre.
Wait a minute. So I willed my earring to float from the nightstand in the bedroom to the mantle in the living room?
That's the theory. You know?
Oh, come on.
I know, but I've seen weird things, man. You know, it's just a theory. Who knows? Maybe I got a ghost in there and you know, they were listening to you.
Yeah, probably it was a ghost of a pirate. All right, I only need one earring.
Right.
So now, to wrap up with you, what are you guys doing, or what did you do with the Sci-Fi Channel?
It was really cool. There's a show on the Sci-Fi Channel called Sci-Fi Investigates. It's on tomorrow's Wednesday, right? It's on tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
They go around and investigate paranormal activity all over the country, and they came to New York to look into, like, the afterlife and ghosts. And they set up an investigation at the Belasco Theater on 44th Street, 6th
mm-hmm.
Avenue.
Right.
The Belasco Theater is just a notoriously haunted place, haunted by David Belasco and a woman, the Lady in Blue. She's in a blue dress, apparently. And so we went in there to try and see if we could stir anything up. Unfortunately, we got skunked on that one, but it was really cool being in there. The Schubert Organization let us go up into David Belasco's apartment, which has been abandoned since like 1931 when he died.
Mm-hmm.
And only a handful of people have gotten the okay to go up there. So it was, you know, kind of an honor to be up there and just a real piece of history, walking around a real piece of New York history. And we did the best we could, but, you know, we kind of came up empty on that one.
Well, at least you're honest about it and create something for the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
Right?
No, they were totally cool and totally just, they just wanted us to be just up front, and if we caught nothing, they wanted us to say, you know what, we caught nothing. They were great.
All right, so for those people who maybe want to get a hold of Paranormal Investigations, how do they do it?
Well, there's a couple of ways. You can go on our website, which is www.paranormal-nyc.com.
Okay.
Or you can call our voicemail, which is 212-726-1555.
Do people call and they're freaked out? Are they screaming on your voicemail?
I just talked to a girl about 25 minutes ago who was freaking out.
Yeah.
She was freaking out.
What'd she say?
He doesn't know. He came on this show.
She's got somebody sitting on her bed when she goes to bed and bouncing up and down on the bed. So.
Damn.
Yeah, right?
Wow. She shouldn't go to bed so early.
Nah.
It's creepy, man.
I know. Yes. I wouldn't be complaining. But,
yeah. All right, Dan Sturgis, thank you so much. Paranormal Investigations of New York City. That's paranormal.nyc.com.
It's paranormal-nyc.com.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck with the ghostbusting.
Happy Halloween.
All righty.
All righty.